This is Judith Leigh welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. Alison McTeer is the Executive Director of the Retreat Association, a national ecumenical Christian organisation that helps people find ways of exploring and deepening their journey with God through spirituality and prayer. They help retreat centres all around the UK to promote themselves. They train retreat leaders and spiritual guides. But probably most importantly, they help people to find a retreat that's right for them. Alison was on the island last weekend to be the guest speaker at this month's meeting of the Island Spirituality Network. And despite her visit being very short, Alison kindly made time to talk with me. And as you're going to hear, it's a thought-provoking conversation that explores much more than going on a retreat. And this chant from the monastic community of Taizé in southern France is a clue to the first thing that we'll be talking about. Alison McTeer, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Thank you very much indeed for sparing some time for a chat in just a very short visit to the island, but I hope a very pleasant one. Now, you are the Executive Director of the Retreat Association. Tell me a little bit more about yourself, Alison. Where are you from?
Well, at the moment I live in South Somerset, which is where I originally hail from. I spent a lot of my life living on the other side of the country in Hertfordshire and Buckinghamshire. And then about 5 years ago or more, I decided maybe I want to go back to my roots, somewhere a little bit less frenetic, nearer the coast, nearer my family. So I ended up back in Somerset, and I love those green fields and I love the heritage as well.
Are you able to work remotely? Are you able to work from home?
Yes. So that was part of the whole idea of moving. And as long as I could make that journey into London occasionally, I would be okay. So I work at home on a day-to-day basis, and then sometimes I get out and about.
You have a background in publishing, and this is an excellent publication, The Retreat Guide. So you could do that without really having a deep Christian motivation, but your Christian faith is very much at the heart of who you are, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I have always been a Christian. Maybe I slightly dipped out of it in my teenage years, which is not unusual. And then I had a very formative experience when I was 23. I went to the Taizé community in southern France. And I suppose I would have what most people would describe as a mountaintop experience. And I believe that kind of set the course of the rest of my life in terms of that appreciation of spirituality, of prayer, of music, of silence, of community. And then I began to seek that in other ways. So for example, I went to Iona, which is a favourite place I go back to, the Isle of Iona. And I then started to go on retreat. And then in my late 20s, I started to look for a spiritual director. And then eventually I ended up doing this job. The thread of it all began with that formative experience when I was quite young. And so, yeah, the journey continues, really.
You are probably the fifth or sixth person over the years who I've talked to, very, very different people, who have said that going to Taizé was a life-changing experience for them.
Yeah.
At least one of them said, I went as a young person in their late teens, as part of a church group. They said they went reluctantly, they thought it would be dreadful, but found it that it remade their faith, and it's something that they've held on to and wanted to share with other people. And it's extraordinary for this monastic community that really came out of the Second World War. And now, even today, it's changing lives and saving lives.
Yeah. I think for me, at that age, to come across thousands of other Christians from across Europe. I went in August, which is fairly peak time, 6,000 people. Those numbers would go up at some point, but it was pretty full. And what they do is they expand the chapel area to accommodate all those people. I suppose I was overawed by the number of different people. You know, I hadn't previously encountered young Christians from other countries who were basically the same as me. So I think that was a very powerful experience. I think the corporate worship with 6,000 people, the sound of these chants, I was very affected by. There was just kind of nothing in there that wasn't really quite affecting. I remember I came back and I went straight back into my work. And I felt as though for a week, nothing could touch me in the sense of stress or anything that might happen. I just felt I was in my own bubble for a week, which I haven't really had that feeling. You know, that was a one-off. And I knew something big had happened. I mean, there was no question. And I was euphoric. You know, I'm quite a level, quiet, perhaps quite reserved person. So these kind of experiences are extremely rare to somebody like me. But it was there, because here we are over 30 years later, and I can still remember what it was like.
You do convey that whole feeling very, very clearly, Alison. Thank you for that. Then you went on and looked for other places of pilgrimage and retreat that fed you in the way that you needed as you went on. If we look at retreats in general, what would you say, from your experience, is the most widely held misunderstanding about retreats? Because a lot of people say, oh, I couldn't go on a retreat. But often it's because they don't really understand what a retreat is about.
Yes. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding because, not surprisingly, there is the perception that perhaps you need to be extremely prayerful and already well on the way to being a very impressive Christian, if you like, whatever that looks like. And that is quite off-putting. And in fact, I would find that off-putting. But retreats encourage people to be where they are. So the hospitality of retreat centres means that you are welcomed as a guest, whatever stage in life you are, wherever you are on life's journey, wherever you are on your Christian journey, you might even not be on your Christian journey. And so in that setting of, you know, real hospitality, of being in a comfortable space, surrounded often by beauty and often by, you know, beautiful places and spaces and a rhythm of life, everybody would find their own natural rhythm within that, and it gives them the space to encounter what their understanding of God is, not anybody else's. It's difficult to do that in day-to-day life, you know, and that is why retreats are so important, because none of us can come necessarily to that place when we're in our own space and we've got all the clutter and baggage of our day-to-day life. You know, following the example of Christ, who also took himself away onto the mountainside, onto the Sea of Galilee, that's not coincidence. That is actually what he needed to do in order to refresh and realign himself with his Father before he went on and continued his ministry. It's a fundamental part of the gospel, that the sense that Jesus needed to go away and pray. And in a sense, that would have been the equivalent of going on retreat, that sense of withdrawing from the hubbub of life and people and all the demands that were made upon him in his ministry, withdrawing and just being able to have that time with God. And retreats have the same value. You know, one is withdrawing in order to find one's own understanding of God in a context where it will be made a lot easier for you, because you won't have the distractions. You'll be in a comfortable space. You'll have chapels or quiet rooms or books or someone to meet with on a daily basis and so on. And of course, there are program retreats. Not everybody wants to go and do their own thing. There are retreats that are programmed around, for example, a biblical theme, a creative theme, a particular book or a film or an activity. So, you know, retreats don't have to be something that you have to design yourself. You can just go along, be part of a group and experience that alongside other people.
A major part of Alison's work is the publication, each December, of a handbook called Retreats, over 120 pages packed with details of more than 130 retreat centres of all shapes and sizes throughout the UK, alongside information, book reviews and 12 different articles.
A small group of us meet in the spring before the publication in December, and we decide what theme we want to follow for the handbook. And then, having decided the theme, we think about who we want to ask to write. We have 12 articles usually in each edition. And what we try to encourage is the idea of a person's personal journey and experience of that particular theme through what they do. So it might be somebody who works for an organization doing some Christian work, or it might be somebody who does something individually. There could be a whole range of people, but the common thread is their Christian faith and how this links to the theme. And so our theme for next year is fruits of the Spirit. So we've approached lots of people to think about what that actually means for them in daily life. And we hope that these articles are living, breathing pieces of writing that people can actually relate to, you know, rather than being something that is just not like day-to-day life. You know, these are real human beings with their own struggles and challenges like the rest of us, who followed a particular path which is often very inspiring and where God is very active in their lives.
So that's the handbook, published annually and called simply Retreats. But we live in an increasingly digital world.
We do have a website with lots of information on it. So if you're even thinking about going on retreat or wanting to know a bit more about what a retreat is, finding a spiritual companion or director, all that information is on the website. And there's also a lot of information about different retreat centres. There's a page on the website where you can actually search for a retreat with criteria such as location, size, cost, all those sorts of things. That's our directory. So you can search for a retreat that way, and that will give you a lot of the information about each retreat centre. So do go to the website, because there's a lot of information on there. It isn't quite the same as the handbook, because the handbook is unique in having the articles. It's unique in being able to, you know, annotate and scribble on and put on your bookshelf. But the two complement each other. But the website is our window on today's world. And we also have a Facebook account and an Instagram account. So we try to let people know what we're doing and people can follow us in that way as well. So I would encourage people to have a look at our website.
And the address is?
www.retreats.org.uk.
So now we've found out a little about Alison's own faith journey and her work as Executive Director of the Retreat Association. Now let's discover what Alison talked about during her time last weekend with the Island Spirituality Network. Her talk centred around a very special piece of artwork called an icon. Icons originate from the Eastern tradition of the early Coptic and Orthodox churches, where Bible stories were told in pictures for people who couldn't read or write. The icon depicts a holy person or a religious story and is used as a focus for prayer and reflection. It's usually painted on wood using traditional techniques that have been passed down through the centuries.
The Retreat Association is very fortunate enough to have a visual icon which was gifted to us in 2018, and it depicts the meeting of Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. This was gifted to us by a gentleman called John Coleman.
John Coleman, also known as Icon John, produced icons using only the traditional methods, and they can be found in over 200 churches and cathedrals worldwide. He also presented icons to the Archbishop of Canterbury, the Pope, and the late Queen. John spoke about how prayer is central to the process of creating an icon, and so he often worked in church or cathedral settings. He was always happy to talk as he worked and to lead workshops on icon writing. When he presented the icon of the Samaritan woman meeting Jesus at the well to the Retreat Association, he said, "I hope this icon will touch all who encounter it."
And then began a journey which has been unexpectedly broad and wide. It's travelled all over the country, been to cathedrals and retreat centres and schools and higher education places, and is often the subject of quiet days and icon painting workshops and so on. I didn't actually manage to bring it with me this time because I flew over here, but we could still view the icon on screen. And basically the theme of the day was that idea of what did it mean for Jesus to meet the Samaritan woman at the well.
The story behind this icon is taken from St. John's Gospel, and tells of the encounter between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Jesus stops to rest by a well and seriously breaks social convention, not just by talking to the woman, Jews did not associate with Samaritans, but by asking her for a drink. The woman is surprised to be asked, but also breaks social convention by answering him. Then there follows a discussion on the nature of the living water of God. The Samaritan woman demonstrates her faith and her knowledge of the scriptures by asking how she can find this living water. Jesus explains that he can offer water that will become a spring of eternal life, that a time is coming when Samaritans and Jews will worship together in spirit and in truth. The woman recognizes Jesus as a prophet and looks forward to the coming of the Messiah who will make all this possible. Jesus then confirms that he is the Messiah that she is seeking. During the conversation, Jesus shows that he knows and understands the woman who has had five husbands. He accepts her for who she is, and the focus of the conversation is not about the woman's past or her personal life, but rather about her faith in the Messiah, the Christ. The Samaritan woman goes away to tell others the story of her meeting with Jesus and how he understood her so completely. Because of this, many Samaritans who heard her story began to believe in Jesus, accepting him as the Christ, the Messiah, whose coming had been promised for centuries.
And by the end of the conversation, she is a completely different woman. She's been on this journey of transformation. It's a key meeting, and the themes that take place within that are very much of the retreats and spiritual direction ministry. When I say spiritual direction, I mean the ministry where you meet with another person and talk about your faith journey. And so the themes of encounter, transformation, of listening, all these kind of things are within that meeting place. And so we were really looking at as many of those as we could in a morning, which is quite a challenge. It's a very big subject. You could spend a week on it. I mean, it's a very powerful message, isn't it? And when you look at the way that she changed over the course of that conversation, it's almost like a summary of anybody's faith journey. You know, we all have our times of doubt, our difficulties in life, whatever they might be, where we feel down on ourselves, we don't believe, and all these kind of things. And then we encounter God and have that experience of being listened to and understood. And then we all make our transformational journeys towards whatever it is that gives us life. And another key theme of this story is, you know, what gives us life? What in our daily lives do we notice that makes us feel free and optimistic and hopeful and light and joyful? And it could be something as small as a smile that somebody gives you in the street, or birdsong, or just something very small. These are all gifts from God that are there to say, you are important to me, you are loved, you are cherished. But also, this is what I would like for you. This is part of your vocation. And so some of these things that we encounter give us hints towards what our own true purpose is. So in the case of the Samaritan woman, her purpose at that point was to go out and tell the story. Each of us have got our own story. And after all, many of us do spend time thinking, what is the meaning of my life? And essentially, the meaning of our lives is about aligning ourselves with our fundamental truth, which is God-given. And we might spend a lifetime working that out. But along the way, we get these hints and noticing our feelings. You know, where do I feel that sense of total freedom, that sense of rightness? Then that is where I should be. And I believe that's what the Samaritan woman felt by the end of the conversation. God is a God of new life. Whatever our age, God is inviting us to move to something new, like the Samaritan woman. That's how God is. God is a God of new life who is never static. Therefore, we need to be prepared to move on with that.
My peace I give you. My peace I give you. Be not afraid.
All our music this morning has come from the Taizé monastic community. And my thanks to my special guest, Alison McTeer, Executive Director of the Retreat Association. And if you'd like to see a picture of the icon that Alison's been talking about, or any more information about retreats, just Google the Retreat Association or search for the Retreat Association on Facebook or Instagram. And so to our notice board, and we start with a reminder about the two big events that we talked about last week. St. Michael's Week started yesterday with a programme of walks, talks, teas, music and so much more. The leaflets are in all churches and in many public places too. Or go to facebook.com and search for Kirk Macleod. The full programme is on their Facebook page. And you don't need to be on Facebook yourself in order to view the Kirk Macleod page. And the Port St Mary Beach Mission daily sessions start tomorrow. But the opening event is this afternoon in and around Port St Mary Town Hall. Beach Mission is back, is from 3:30 till 5 o'clock, and everyone is welcome to come along and get this hugely popular 2-week holiday club off to a great start. From tomorrow, Monday, the 27th, there'll be activities every weekday for 0 to 17-year-olds. Everything's free except for the outing, and there is a small charge for this. Children and young people are welcome to attend as many or as few of the sessions as they wish, but all children and young people must be registered, please, before attending their first session. And the easiest way to do this is via the website psmbm.im, the first letter of each word, Port St Mary Beach Mission, psmbm.im. And if you were wondering about the Peel Beach Mission, well, that starts a week on Monday, August the 3rd, and runs until Friday, August the 14th. And I'll have the full details for you on next week's notice board. Back now to today, and Port Erin Gospel Church have their usual two services today, this morning at 11:30 and tonight at 7. Once again, Mr. Paul Alford is the special preacher, and all are welcome. The Isle of Man Organist Association have another celebration concert this afternoon, in this their 75th anniversary year. Distinguished organist Matthew Atherton, who our own Gareth Moore describes as brilliantly talented, will give a concert this afternoon at 3 o'clock in St George's Church here in Douglas. Admission is free and all are welcome. Sunday Night at the Prom is a series of monthly concerts which are part of the Promenade Methodist Church's 50th anniversary celebrations. So the Lonvane Ladies Choir will be in the Prom Church on Loch Promenade here in Douglas this evening at 8 o'clock. Admission is free and all are welcome. And the Lonvane Ladies Choir will also be singing later this week on Thursday evening in St Catherine's Church in Port Erin. That concert on Thursday evening starts at 7:30 with free admission, a retiring collection and light refreshments to follow. On Wednesday evening, St Thomas's Church, just off the promenade near the Gaiety Theatre here in Douglas, invite you to an hour of music from the Isle of Man Community Choir conducted by Mandy Griffin. It starts at 7:45 with free admission, delicious refreshments afterwards, and an opportunity to donate towards church funds if you wish. Also on Wednesday the 29th, there's another Summer Songs of Praise at St Adamnan's, Lonnon Old Church, led this week by Dr Tim Grass, and starting at 7:30. This Thursday the 30th, pop along to Balligary Methodist Chapel in St Mark's Village because it's time for another Tea at 3, a sumptuous afternoon tea served on Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock. It's £12 per person and there's no need to book. And that's all that we have time for now. But I'll be back tonight at 9 o'clock with Sundown, and I'd love you to come and join me in our virtual lounge for our usual mix of your requests and dedications and the very best easy listening music. But for now, this is Judith saying thank you for listening and wishing you and those you love a blessed and peaceful week and a very good morning.